For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling too. This is Shake Them Ropes, back on video for now because Jeff got a new computer.
We're on video.
I am Jeff Hawkins. I am deeply in the wrestling bubble. He is Chris Novembrino. He couldn't give a crap.
This is like the new dynamic. It's like every week I have 4 hours on Friday to watch some wrestling, and I talk about it, and Jeff watches all the other stuff, and that's basically the arc of the show right now.
Yes. Attention must be paid. Rest in peace, music wise Jimmy Buffett, Steve Harwell, the lead singer of Smash Mouth, and Gary Wright, who had 2 hits, one of which Dreamweaver, the other one Love Is Alive, which slaps. I think I love that. The whole
there's still, like, a couple of deep cuts of his too that are good, right?
Yeah,
He's got some cool like synth work, like 70s style.
Rappers sampled that Love Is Alive because it has a nice bass line. You know, doom doom bump bump, ba-dump, ba-dump, ba-dump. Yeah, that's cool. I have no qualms. It's weird how music snobbery goes. Look, Jimmy Buffett's one of those guys who could have never put out an album after 1985 and been fine, and probably all of his music after 1985 stinks. But you know, the Key West sound, whatever. It's as I've grown older, it's funny because Buffett used to come to the College of William Mary every year to play a stadium show, and like all the people would bring their blenders and stuff like that. I never had any want to go because I always thought it was just like, look at all these sad alcoholics going to a concert. But I mean, even Gene Simmons thinks, yay, I think you market Margaritaville a little bit too much there, Jimmy. But he made bank. Get paid. That's all you need. And Hartwell, you know, the punk pop movement of the mid-90s. Look, I'm not going to say they were great songs, but they were catchy radio tunes for the summer. And, you know, if you're a few hit wonder, there's worse things that can happen. I mean, he got on a Shrek soundtrack and made millions off of that. So any thoughts on any of those three at all? Are you a Parrothead?
Oh, a Jimmy Buffett fan? Oh God, no.
Oh, you say that with such disdain. I kind of like the beach country thing. I mean, it's fine. He has a couple of really nice tunes.
What about
Smash Mouth? Are you a big Smash Mouth?
Yes. Okay. So Astro Lounge is a good album. And then the album that follows that they have a lot of good deep cuts. They are actually a pretty halfway decent band, I would say. Yeah. Smash Mouth has got some good stuff.
Now, how would you put them? I put them as punk pop. There's a little ska in there too, but they don't have a horn section, which is very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like kind of punk poppy with a heavier, especially later on, like a heavier emphasis on like pop sensibilities and stuff. Like they really were, you know, thinking about the chord changes.
They were a mid-90s soundtrack band. Like if you had a movie in the mid-90s, there was a Smash Mouth song on there, I think. Yeah, it was a requirement.
I think that's
I actually kind of like All-Star. I got to be honest with you. It's a catchy tune.
All-Star is catchy. Well, okay, so to get really music nerdy, it's a 1-4-5, but instead of actually going to the 5, it goes to the tritone.
What does that mean?
All right. Well, we're on video this week, right?
So music lessons, kids.
Yeah, all right. So we're in F. If we're talking All-Star, right? We're in F, and normally like a 1-4-5 and F would be like F, B, C.
Yeah.
B flat, right? But they actually only go F, B flat.
B flat.
B.
B, okay.
So, hey now, you're an All-Star. Get your game on. Go play.
It's not quite a minor chord, but it's...
No. It's weirdly tense, and like it makes sense in the way that they deploy it. And I mean, it's because they've done it, no one else will do it now, like, because everyone thinks of that as like the All-Star sort of like 1-4-5 sort of twist. So I don't know. I mean they're not like a totally musically substantial band, like, you know, they're not iconic, you know, but
they're no Jimmy Buffett.
They did some things. Yes. Who among us could be Jimmy Buffett?
Look, Son of a Sailor is a great little beautiful song.
I respect the hustle, right? Like, if you're going to make...
Oh, it is nonstop hustle from Jimmy Buffett.
If you're
going
to make a career, making a career of, like, going on boats to beaches and, like, having drinks is actually a pretty dope fucking gimmick.
Ex-music journalist. I found that out. Right.
Oh, is he?
He was like a Billboard correspondent in Nashville for country music.
Huh.
Yeah. I didn't know that either. And that's where the country roots come from before he went to Key West and went with the Key West Caribbean sound. And you know, and now Brad Paisley has a career. Or is that who it is? Yeah. I forgot who the guy who just basically aped Buffett's career, but that's pretty much. And then, you know, slap Margaritaville on everything and become a billionaire. Why not? Margaritaville's fun if you're drunk, let's put it that way.
I mean, yeah, but like most songs are fun if you're drunk.
Why,
like,
don't we get drunk and screw? I mean, come on.
Like, look, you could get me to sing Neon Moon and shit when I'm drunk, like, you know. I'll get, you know, like, I think of two young lovers, wild and free. Yeah, like,
let's put it this way, I will take Buffett over hair metal any day of the week.
Yeah, okay, so if you're stuck on a desert island with either Jimmy Buffett or Unskinny Bop, at least just based on
She's only 17, like, oh my god, get me off this island.
Clearly Buffett's the stronger soundtrack just based on his marketing.
Well, if you're stuck on an island, Buffett seems to be the mood music.
Right, yeah.
Oh, another beach and coconuts all day. That's just what we need. Yeah,
I am the cheeseburger in paradise. Oh, only extremely alone.
Changes in latitude. Dude, I'd like a change in latitude off this island.
Off this island, now. But at least the soundtrack's appropriate.
On to wrestling. Rest in peace, Sheik Adnan LKC, formerly known as Billy White Wolf, who teamed with Jay Strongbow in the WWF for a while. More famous in two ways. He was a mainstay in the AWA as their kind of generic second tier evil foreigner manager there. but also got a run in the show WWF when Slaughter became the Iraqi sympathizer. That is General Adnan, kids. Sheikh Adnan LKC, an ex high school classmate of one Saddam Hussein from Iraq before coming over and getting trained in the Minnesota area, as many as also the Iron Sheik was. And boy, that just always seems like a odd friendship that you have the Iranian wrestler and the Iraqi wrestler who are very buddy, but I assume that's professional things. I really wasn't a fan of Adnan LKC in AWA. Got to be honest with you. Did not do it for me. Always thought he was kind of a knockoff of other guys that I'd see, especially like Skandar Akbar, who was a Texan who pretended to be from the Middle East, which is always fascinating as well. And of course, that Iraqi sympathizer gimmick in 1991 was just dreadful, to be honest with you. 1990, 1991 during Desert Storm, I hated it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lazy gimmick. It had no staying power.
It helped Slaughter in some ways, though.
In some ways, but
Slaughter,
like,
was already kind of cooked by then, too.
Right. I was gonna say, like, I mean, I guess it gave like one last coat of paint on what is a cooked item, but like he never repivoted out of that.
And
he became Commissioner Slaughter after that.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why they had to move it eventually from the LA Coliseum to the LA Sports Arena is because of just how horrible that gimmick was, and it just didn't sell once WrestleMania came around. I mean, Hogan versus a guy that people want to like. People wanted to like Slaughter, but rest in peace, Adnan LKC. And now to the big news. When last Shake Them Ropes left you, Jeff was doing a solo show because Chris was sleeping on his couch. I think. Is that where you were sleeping?
Yeah. No, I definitely was asleep at that point. Yeah.
Is everything okay? You seem a little distracted. I'm just
there's something outside is making a noise. Like there has been a noise. Like, we got started doing the show, and I keep hearing like a bum 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 bum. I'm like trying to figure out what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stay on mic with me then.
I'm staying on mic. I mean, you're not wrong.
If you need to jump under the table, just let me know.
No, I'm not going to jump under the table. I'm almost like, I want to do a live investigation as to what this rattle is, but I'll wait until I hear more, if I hear any more.
Okay.
Now it's become part of the show. I mean, like, Detective Chris is on the case. He's getting Nova out there.
Extra for the Patreon, we'll do the video of you investigating.
I'll shoot with my cell phone camera. We made this like a real thing.
It was late Friday night. I had done the show. I had done previews of Payback and All Out. I was headed to sleep. Missed my night activities, unfortunately, but hey, I do it for you people. And then wake up Saturday. As I'm cleaning my house, CM Punk has been fired from AEW from both his talent and his employment contract. Tony Khan coming out with a statement on video at the beginning of Collision and also to the live crowd at Collision, stating that, yes, Phil Brooks had been released and that Khan, quote, feared for his life.
Mm.
A little bit in that for a moment. Meeting was there was rumors that there was a meeting before they all flew out to Wembley a couple Fridays ago, and it was never asked for because of the belief it would be turned down by the Young Bucks. According to one person very close to the situation, though, Young Bucks have said if 6 months went by without CM Punk having any issues, they would have been willing to sit down and work with him. We'll talk a little bit about that as well, but Ace Steel also released this week. But yes, CM Punk is gone. I will give you first crack at this before I start to rant.
Boy, in a way, it needed to happen. Once Punk was going around and saying, "Catch me outside."
Yeah.
His days, in my opinion, were numbered, however else I've felt about the other altercations that have been happening along the way. The feud with Jack Perry, really, I mean, it was petty, right? Like, who cares? Like, it's his match. You know, who really gives a shit? Like, it's his match. The feud with the Bucks and Omega, I definitely view as a much more nuanced thing than I guess a large majority of the audience. I also think watching Tony Khan's statement in front of that Chicago crowd.
Did you watch the TV version or did you watch the version in front of the crowd?
The version in front of the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, the version in front of the crowd. I did not like the Tony Khan that I saw. It was not 7 minutes that made me feel warmer and fuzzier about the man. In particular, the I feared for my life stuff, which, I mean, you know, I guess we all have different thresholds in which we are worried about our life as in our mortal safety being threatened.
Yes, and I will say that.
And I've been in situations where I've been worried about being physically hurt. Some might even say
earlier
recently,
today.
Yeah, some might even actually say if they knew my life, like earlier today. And while the threat of violence was credible, at no point did I fear for my life. Like I think one can fear being hit without fearing for their life.
Yeah, although I think Brian Alvarez had some good points about this, because like Punk in these two instances was rabid in terms of the, I mean, this was more assault than, you know, hey, meet me outside for a fist fight type of thing. This was angry, angry stuff. And, you know, how many fights has Tony Khan ever really been in? You know, that's one of those things where it's
no
like,
clue. Yeah. I'm sure not many.
Well, yeah. The thing that made me laugh about it a little bit is that Tony Khan as a teenager went to the ECW arena at its height. And I have been there, my friend. And that is a situation where I have feared for my life.
Yeah. I mean, or if you ever went to like any of
the
Super
fire
Dragon
doors there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Super Dragon matches were not exactly like safe environments either.
Yeah.
So Tony Khan going, I feared for my life, really just for me felt overdramatic.
Speculation is that was for legal purposes.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm sure the lawyers might have advised him that. At the same time, I would just like to posit that lawyers are lawyers and not gods, and that they don't know everything, and that oftentimes in law cases, two lawyers enter a courtroom and one of them loses.
Yes.
So then half the time, one of them is not correct.
You're going to find this funny, I think.
Maybe. You never know. You never know.
You've never found me funny before.
you have grown on me like a fungus, slowly. Like a lichen, really.
Are we dating? That's how that goes, too.
Into the mineral that is no.
All right, cut it out. Let me get to my point.
Okay, fine.
I fell into a deep depression on Labor Day about this whole thing. And I'll tell you why, because I'm listening to the podcast over at Fight Game Media, where the other three people who cover AEW shows are happy and relieved and just like, oh man, finally AEW can get back to, you know, growing and being better, and it's going to be a happy place and all that. Sure. And I'm sitting there going, I'm not sure if there's anything left for AEW for me, because in the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, depending on the timeline. I'm not good with time, to be honest with you, because it's all a flat circle after you hit 30. Cody Rhodes leaves for WWE. And Cody Rhodes, to me, was a great storyteller, great angle builder, great Southern style type of wrestling thing. Tully Blanchard, my favorite promo ever, has a falling out with the company, depending on who you listen to. Things didn't work out, gets cut, etc. Jay Briscoe, the most compelling promo in wrestling to me, in a world where I just want compelling promos in wrestling, to be honest with you, for builds, dies. And now CM Punk, the guy who can talk me into a room and talk me into a feud, is gone. And I'm left with how I termed it was Wes Anderson wrestling. This whimsical, ironic, we don't really take things too seriously. Product. And don't get me wrong, I love Unrepent Stupidity. I love Orange Cassidy. I love a lot of things that would be deemed ironic. And
Orange Cassidy's
like
actually been pretty solid right now. And like yeah. the build with him is not the problem. I mean, it's like MJF's sort of meta world champion thing where it's like, I'm going to leave the company. Yes. And always teasing that implies that WWE is the greener pasture, that AEW is the beta belt.
Oh, the people who hate Stanford don't realize how much Stanford is in this product at times. I get that, but it was one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to watch this, and I don't want to watch Collision, which was
post-punk Collision has like almost no interest to me at all.
It's
like,
a two-hour rampage again.
Now that we said it at the beginning of the show, I have like 4 hours a week to watch wrestling every week, and Collision was part of that digest, and now like I can't even imagine why I would pop it on.
Here's the other thing that came up with me, and you know, it's a lot of, oh, well, the Bucks don't want to be in the same room as Punk, you know, because of that assault earlier, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, they shouldn't have to, and all this other stuff. They are employees. They have two contracts just like Punk. And Tony Khan brought CM Punk back for a reason. And that reason was he saw an investment there that he wanted to make money with, and also probably because David Zaslav liked CM Punk or something to that effect, to be the anchor of this second show on Saturdays. Now, that said, you don't do meetings in arenas or anything like that. You fly these guys out and say, bring whatever lawyers or personnel or friends or psychological comfort animals or whatever you want to bring. We're going to meet in a boardroom, in a building with actual security in it. And we're going to sit around a large table and we are going to talk. Now, will things be solved? I don't know. But if Tony Khan wanted to bring Punk back into the fold, as he did, obviously, for bringing him in Collision, and wanted to set the stage and set the for what was going on in his company, I think he needed to be a little bit stronger here, Chris. I'm of the opinion that, hey, you call me and you say, hey, I don't care if you don't want to be here. If you don't want to be here, I'll terminate your employment contract and keep your talent contract. You have that leverage. Now, I'm not saying you should have gone that strong about it, but it's one of those things where you have to say, you're my employee. This is my money. We are not a profitable company as yet. Okay? You're playing in my sandbox, and you don't want to go to the
room part of
you're my toys, but not like that. I mean, you want to do it respectfully, but at the same time, you want to say, hey, I'm paying for this. I'm the blank check. You guys come in here and you at least try. That's all I want, is you guys to at least try. And we will bring in whoever you want to be there to try and have this powwow and shake hands and see if it can work out. Am I wrong on that or not?
No, I mean, I think this is the underlying problem of the narrative that like removing Punk solves all problems, right?
Oh no,
it doesn't. No, because the problems have been extant pre-Punk. We've talked about many of these indulgent problems pre-Punk, and the thing is that the people who are indulgent are now only several years older, and they were all past their peaks anyways at the beginning of this. So, you know, does Dynamite need a lot of Bucks and Omega? I know people who are fans of the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and they loyal. I ran into some at the tram this week, and they're like, who are you a fan of? I'm like, I like the Acclaim. Like, we love Kenny Omega. And I'm like, I get it. You know, and we scissored and it was cool. They're
oh,
loyal.
Really? Hmm.
Yeah, we would, you know.
They do that on the trams now, do they?
Yeah, we scissor on the tram. We scissor. Okay. I'm bringing it everywhere. It was his kid scissored me. I mean, like, it's strange how over that particular meme is. But
Bowens goes to my gym and passes me by, and I have the
I know, right? If I saw him, I'd be revving up that.
I'm thinking
scissor,
about
man.
It. I'm just like, nah, dude, that guy.
No, you got to. You no. got. I'm sorry, you have to.
Sap says the same thing because Sap.
No, because you don't even have to initiate conversation. You could just do it, and he can move on.
If
with
he gets,
day.
If he gets on the elliptical next to me, I'm just gonna do this. I'm just gonna see what he does.
I feel like that's respecting boundaries, right?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, no, if you're like, you're Anthony Bowens from AEW, can we get a photograph? That's not respecting.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not doing
respecting.
Mark photos.
No. Like, seeing him going like, hey, I do a wrestling podcast, like, scissor me, daddy ass. Like, you know, like, fucking. You know,
I'd name drop because he knows people that I know. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. So there you go. You can even get like that.
Sap and Mookie. Okay, there we go. I know your boss. I know the guy who pays you. Yeah, I.
So there you go. Now you've got the clearance to go for the scissor.
Well, no. I'm trying to get back on track on the show here, Chris.
Oh, we're talking about Punk still. We're talking about
Omega and you know,
no. So like, I mean, like, look. Now Punk's gone. Great. Okay. Cool. Does that jumpstart the MJF program? Like, I guess, in the sense that you no longer have this stupid real world champion thing happening. I guess. That helps MJF on the margins. I'll concede that, but. This is not a great building company. They're not making new stars like that. I mean, like, you know, they get good mid-card stars like the aforementioned Acclaim, who I like. But that breakthrough thing, they haven't done that.
Yeah,
they don't
they
have
that.
Yeah, you know, they don't have. Let's say they need to do Goldberg, but like, you know, like WCW had Goldberg, right? Like that was like an actual entity. That like contrasted against what WWF was throwing out there at the time, and
they
AEW
don't yet have the badass that can break through, and they don't have the talker that can break through. And I love MJF as a talker, I do, but there's those moments where you can tell a little bit like Christian that he wants to pop the crowd rather than get the crowd to hate him, and that becomes a problem. I mean, it's good for like PR, and I guess you could send him out on PR junkets and things like that, but I agree.
Yeah, I mean, they were sort of doing that with Wardlow, but like he didn't feel like he was going to break all the way through.
No.
Yeah. And so
by the way, that's... Collision dropped by 50% after the first segment, after Dragon contract signing, which was a very well done angle, I thought.
What would be the draw to watch Collision though, especially like
Danielson?
Danielson, I guess. Yeah. I mean, but and I love Danielson, but man, there is a drop off between the Punk FTR dynamic and like bringing in Danielson.
Yeah. And I assume all like the Saturday night main event type of branding that they were doing with like the promos up front. I'm assuming that stuff's going to be gone. Anything that Punk really, you know, how he wanted to shape the vision of his show are gone for now.
Mm.
I am going to be very interested to see. I was listening to Dave's podcast tonight with Garrett, and it's like, well, you never know. In a while, AEW could bring him back. Like, I don't think that. But WWE seems to be in play.
I certainly think so.
I think Cody would want it.
Yeah.
And I think if they can make enough money, I think the company could do it.
This is a pickup that would be very rough for AEW's audience because – yes, a majority of them don't like Punk, but there is a sizable minority that does. And picking up Punk, it absolutely pulls the camera focus back over to the WWE side.
Oh, it's going to make social media unbearable.
Oh, well, I'm not on this popular social network.
No, I'm sending them all to you to talk about it, though.
Please, so. Please. No. If they're not on the Discord, which I do occasionally show up on now.
Yes, you arrive, break stuff, and leave. You're the Brock Lesnar of the Discord.
Yeah.
but no, they will be more defensive about it too. The people who are really into AEW will be very, very taking AEW's cast offs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, but Especially the Cody Rhodes, letting Cody Rhodes walk is just a Mondo mistake, in my opinion. Like, he really could have been.
He brought something different, and I think there was too much of listening to the fan base that didn't like what he brought. And I really am thinking, I mean, I agree with you, and some people agree with you, but that's not what I want. I want these super, they basically want super indies. And I get that. I just don't feel like it's a good building block.
Is a super indie gonna break through? I think at this point, we have now done how many years of AEW's experiment on this? 4 years? Coming up on five?
Ring of Honor's not knocking anybody over.
Ring of Honor didn't do it.
Yeah.
AEW ain't doing it. I just think that, like, marketable wrestling's got to be something a little bit broader than that. You can still have some good super indie style wrestling in the middle of the show. I just don't think that can be the nuts and bolts.
Over on the other side of the fence, Gable Steveson has officially been removed from the NXT roster, and there are no plans for him in NXT at this moment.
Man, AEW should actually think about picking him up because he's good. I know it's not like replacing CM Punk, but like, Steveson's good.
I hate you for doing that.
Why? Yeah, why do you hate me for doing that?
Because it's a good joke, but it's there. Don't know if this is because he's not in the World Championships, I don't think. And I think he wants to do the Olympic trials again. Boy, I feel bad for his brother, who actually...
Oh, David Kemp's amazing. Oh, God.
And
if David Kemp was ever a free agent, that would be someone I would totally advise.
Yeah, I'm afraid the company's going to take out the Gable Steveson stuff on him. But WWE still has control of his future. Like, they were saying, yeah, you can go back to college and use that last year of eligibility, but you can only do it at the University of Minnesota, and I think he wanted to transfer to the University of Iowa. Because there's, I guess they have somewhat of a training center in Minneapolis. I think they use Sean Daivari and Mr. Kennedy's school up in Minnesota, so they still have pro wrestling training up there. But it's, yeah, there's a lot of unseen strings in that statement. But to me, Steveson, look, while he is an athletic specimen, doesn't have the other part of the wrestling thing down.
That's what his brother has.
What his brother has.
Yeah, Damon's good.
Yeah. The Dudleys have been signed to WWE Legends contract. Mm. Now, what does that mean?
Get the tables.
Well, that means they're probably being pulled from Impact 1000 tomorrow night, unless they get a deal done there that says they can do that. Also, I liked this speculation a lot with Adam Copeland out there possibly doing a run in AEW. This prevents them from doing the quote unquote final chapter of the Edge and Christian versus Hardys versus Dudley Boys fight forever and break your back series.
God.
Which I hope they don't do. I don't need 50-year-olds climbing ladders and going through tables.
Like,
call it the Terry Funk Invitational and bring all the old guys.
Middle-aged and crazy.
All of them. All of them are now middle-aged and crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. Like, all of them are Terry Funk's age now.
I will take a Federation of Funks, though.
Well,
If they could cut promos like Terry Funk, I would take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I have no other news. Ratings were ratings. Raw did a respectable 1.7 million against the big football game, Clemson being beat by Duke, which was just shocking, but... We are now into football season, college football season.
This will be the ratings drop off. Yeah, Collision will drop.
Raw will be down. Yeah, so this is...
And ratings, I feel like we still have this residual from when they talked about, like, there's a ratings war. And there isn't.
No.
And as such, I increasingly just finding myself... I care about the month over month. But
the horse,
like,
race doesn't interest the me. Horse the horse race, yeah. Month over, like, month and month, growth interests me.
Yeah, month over month kind of interests me. Yeah, and then, like, growth over the year. And in the case of both these companies, WWE's kind of grown a little bit, like, in terms of interest. I think the Bloodline, LA Knight. I mean, Dude, LA Knight, they're hitting it out of the park with LA Knight. He's really, really
over. He is currently negotiating a new contract, and once he signs that contract, they're going to push him into a Roman Reigns match, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To the moon. And
although that match Saturday he did was nothing.
That's the crazy thing. It they don't care.
I know.
But they don't care. But
that's the style. I mean, big guys who kind of move well and – look,
he's got swagger. He's a good promo. Yeah, get paid, dude. I mean,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I'm happy for him because he didn't make any money for a long time. And look, no. he was one of the best parts of that NWA.
Totally.
The Billy verse when we were still watching it.
Man, he really found himself on that show.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, he really like found the LA Knight identity on that NWA show. And so, yeah, like I for those
he
who
found that LA Knight identity as Eli Drake.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, it's right true. Up to the yeah. Right up to the yeah. 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 No, yeah. It's yeah. Like I remember watching the shows where he did that. I was like, that's really connecting with people. I mean, you know, it was as over as our personal favorite back in the day, the question mark.
Yes. Karate.
Karate.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man.
That'll do it for the news. Now to the lazy river. Ice cold, freezing takes on the river for the shows that I watched the two pay-per-views. I watched or premium live events, if you will, WWE Payback and AEW All Out. Two show match for Payback. If you did not watch, Trish and Becky had a banger of a cage match, and Trish, this is her best match. She was friggin' awesome. She was doing the little heel things, the talking to the camera and stuff. She was in the zone. And if you watched all of Trish's career, the acting part was rough for her at first. And then she got confident in the wrestling, and then she got confident in the personality. People want to cheer her, I think, still. I hope she takes some time off. I would like just one match a year, if anything, after this. If she left right now, she'd be leaving on top. The match was awesome. It was brutal. They were ramming each other's faces into the cage. She had a giant hematoma on her forehead. She does that, and she took a superplex off the top of the cage, Chris. She's a 48-year-old woman doing that. That is impressive to me.
I mean, I think she's miscast as like an active wrestler. I think yes. She makes all the sense in the world as like
special attraction.
Well,
maybe.
How about like the Harley Race of the women's? Yeah, like she hangs around and she wants that title and she wants to control that title and she's just always getting her Vaders to do her work for her.
If we had Vaders, it'd be great. I mean, you know,
Rhea would be great. I mean, if Trish, yeah,
Rhea would be great. You know, yeah. Who'd be great is a repackaged Raquel.
Raquel, yeah, Raquel would be great too. Yeah,
that match was a little rough. I mean, yeah, you bring her back as she was great as Dakota's heavy.
Yeah, and having Trish managing her, so it's yes. All about Raquel.
Yes.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, Trish's like weird pursuit
and
of
not
the belt.
Taking all the heat from Raquel, hopefully,
right?
Because WWE
right.
Can
the Zoe
do that
Stark
sometimes.
The Zoe Stark thing didn't work because it's like Zoe's your sidekick.
That turn worked for me though after the match. I love that Zoe just planted her after.
I thought that turn was good, and I thought honestly the Shayna Baszler match was good too.
Oh yeah, no, we'll get to
The Shayna Baszler match was really good. Yeah,
yeah, I did enjoy that as well, and the tag team title match between Zayn and Owens, and the Judgment Day. Look, Owens and Zayn know how to do walk and brawl garbage matches. Kevin Owens jumped off of the first level of the stands to go through a table and kind of missed a bit and landed hard on his butt. I'm hoping he's okay. Judgment Day are your secondary bloodline in terms of belt collectors right now. They are a powerful stable, and Rhea is the head of this stable. It is not Finn Balor's stable.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
Rhea
right.
Is
yeah,
the
yeah,
star
yeah.
of this stable.
Yeah.
And that's impressive for WWE to be able to do that with a female superstar, because they're not particularly adept at such things.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, they minus the unfortunate Sami Zayn promo this week where he said that there were five men in the ring, and like then he like had a follow up joke on it where I was like, ooh. I didn't love that joke.
What was worse, the man, the misogyny, or the fat jokes by MJF?
I'm gonna say the misogyny.
Okay.
Because MJF is like kind of like still a dick character, and so you can sort of understand it through that.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn is presented as like the beating heart of WWE, and so like then he's calling Rhea Ripley a man in so many words.
AEW All Out was a good show. And people in AEW will tell you all about it on Twitter afterwards. I'll get to that in a second, because that's the narrative point that got me. But yes, on paper, it seemed underwhelming, but they delivered. And the build was bad, but they delivered. That strap match was fantastic stuff. Bryan Danielson, who still has a broken arm, and Ricky Starks beat the crap out of each other, Chris. I mean, they're slapping the belt in each other's faces. They're choking each other. They have welts all over themselves. The ending of the match was fantastic with Starks. You know, he's getting choked out and he's doing the great acting job of, I don't want to quit, I don't want to quit. And then eventually he goes night-night. It's a little confusing that Danielson's a babyface here, even though he's still part of the Blackpool Combat Club. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I'm confused. I mean, and like, why not turn Starks at this point again? Lex Luger style.
Baby?
I guess.
We'll get to that promo when we get to more Lazy River stuff. But yeah. I also really, really want to put over, they did the thing that I really wanted them to in the Takeshita match. Takeshita goes over clean. Unkenny tried to cheat at first, couldn't get the screwdriver out of the apron, but went over Kenny clean. Kenny hasn't won a singles match since Don Callis left him, which is a very interesting story. I think they're telling Takeshita looked like a badass in this match. I mean, he looked like the second coming of Okada at times, I would say. I really liked this match a lot. And there wasn't a lot of Kenny goofy gesticulation stuff. He was there for the fight, and it was really
he was there for the fight. Yeah. I mean, look, when he's like that, he's good in the ring. I mean, the knock on the Bucks and Omega and them, it's not that they're not good in the ring.
Yeah. The Bucks FDR versus Bullet Club gold match was a lot of fun for what it was. They're kind of combining to do each other's tag team finishers throughout the thing. You know, you'll have a Buck and an FTR do the spike pile driver, etc., etc. That's the only time they also played into the Punk. There were only Punk chants during that match, and FTR played into it pre-match, and then it kind of went away at the time. That was mostly a Bucks Omega crowd to be there, and they got what they want. They got a very, very good match between them, and there was a little bit of a tension afterwards between FTR and the Bucks as they wanted to play that up for the camera a bit, but it was really good. Miro and Hobbs, big meaty men slapping meat. It was pretty fantastic, I thought, for what it was. I wanted a little bit more out of it in terms of throwing each other, because it started out as like Hoss match. It started out as Vader versus Bigelow. And then it kind of got a little bit clever. I don't know what CJ Perry is going to be doing in this company, though. The hot, flexible wife showed up post-match, Chris. I don't know if you read that.
No, I did not.
And Miro kind of walked away from her.
Oh.
Because, of course, remember, he had renounced his hot, sexy, flexible right. wife
and
his God.
Yes. And his God.
Yes. So, yes. Let me think of any other story points. Tony Storm, still crazy, ruined the match for Ruby. Joe did his thing. I'm trying to remember. Oh, the acclaimed, God bless the Jarrett crew who had to try and distract Aubrey for a long, long time while Dennis Rodman just stood in the ring. So I think Rodman was supposed to leave. He's like, nah, not leaving. Whatever. Do not work with animals, children, or
Dennis Rodman.
Or Dennis Rodman. Yes, let's go with that. I was going to say superstars with historical mental issues because I was thinking Tyson at the same time. It was the celebrity spot. The Jarrett geeks, and they're fantastic. But yes, All Out, well worth your time if you have not already gone back already. And now to current television, and I have talked enough. Chris, you are up.
All right, so this week I basically watched WWE Raw because if you've been listening to the show recently, we never watch Raw in any serious effort. I mean, like, Jeff watches some of it, but I don't watch any of it at all. And I was like, what is even going on Raw right now? And I got to tell you, it was a pretty good show.
It was.
I actually enjoyed pretty much every segment of this. The Jey Uso opening was good. Having Sami Zayn come out was nice. Having Riddle and McIntyre blocked to encounter them, that was really good. Making sure that, you know, it's not like a total reset button thing that like Uso has like these seeds planted.
There are some lingering feelings there. Not everybody turns into Darby Allin and forgives AR Fox instantly.
Right. I thought that was good. And then Ricochet and Shinsuke and Nakamura had a nice little enhancement match that ended not with Nakamura winning, which I thought was an unexpected, like, I thought it was a good little twist on the story. I mean, even the whole Nakamura like doesn't want to fight Rollins, but like he does. Like the whole thing's good.
I'm not gonna fight you on your terms, type of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. Then we got to Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, and this was good. I thought Zoe did a really nice job selling trying to get out of the Kira Fuda clutch and like didn't get out of it.
Yes.
But like it was a really nice sell of the whole thing.
If they are destroyer tag team, I'm here for that.
Yeah,
that's what the division needs. Although they're gonna be destroying Caden Carter and Katana Chance week after week.
Yeah, I guess they're gonna end up being heels, right? Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, you have to be heels with those two.
With those two, yeah.
I think.
And then, I love all the stuff with the Judgment Day. You know, like the way they've done. The writing around the Judgment Day always gives them these options to like zig and zag. They could let McDonough into the group. They also, yes. McDonough could also be like sabotaging them from the inside, or like he could be
a useful idiot. Yeah.
Right. He stabs Finn Balor in the back. Balor's the one pulling for him to get in, and he does ultimately get in, but it's at the expense of Balor. Like, you know, or it's Balor's plan to stab Priest in the back and sabotage the briefcase. There's any number of really interesting things you can do with the Judgment Day storyline. And I think they've done a nice job building them up as a really formidable top level heel team, right up to and including having Rhea Ripley say, like, you know, I don't even think about the Bloodline anymore. We are the top team. Like, I thought that was a good piece of writing, actually.
I'd love a revisit of the showdown between the Bloodline and the Judgment Day, but only like Solo and Roman are kind of left.
yeah.
And Rhea still wants a piece of Solo. I was thinking about this new briefcase thing. Does JD McDonagh need to steal this contract?
I mean, that would be the funniest thing, is that he actually has the contract now.
Yes. That's what I was thinking this entire time, is he's giving him a MacGuffin briefcase with nothing in it, and they're going to give it to an official. What do you want me to do with this? This isn't the briefcase.
I mean, that would be a great out, right? Like that, and that's what makes this so good, is that they credibly can write this as, well, yeah, J.D. McDonough okey-doked Damian Priest right in front of him and gave him a purple briefcase. It's not his briefcase. Yes. And he was just like, this is great. Or you could play, you know, the other direction where, you know, that was, you know, a good thing. And the contract's obviously still in there and blah, 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 blah. Like they've done a nice job going in multiple different directions. This was a strong episode of Raw. The Miz segment with Invisible John Cena, it was good.
Congratulations to Invisible Stan for coming off the indies and getting a nice little payday there. I
actually enjoyed that, in particular the punch, duck the clothesline, skull crushing finale. Like, chef's kiss.
It's some of the best work Miz has ever done in the
I know no notes on that that was so
yeah,
good
no, no it's 10-10. I also liked the gimmick of the camera guy being in on it and just doing the entire John Cena runs down there and goes under the ring and is doing his entire thing. God bless that cameraman. I think we need to book this John Cena versus Little Jimmy for a cage match somewhere. Mm. Have Miz officiate like Bryce did Invisible Stan versus Invisible Man, because I'm kind of here for that, just to see what he could do with it. Yeah, I like that. I love
and
the
then
Gable.
the main event was great. Yeah. Gable and Walter totally delivered. I bought in
for a second that he might win.
You would love to see that, actually. Like that would have been a great way to do it, where he just stops Gunther right on the day of. That would have been really interesting.
Yeah, and he ties, and then it's Honky and Gunther.
Yeah.
I did get something I did love in this match, though. Crying children.
Oh, I know. God, that finish was so money.
Oh, those kids were. I think those kids were smartened up too, and they still acted well.
Might have been the strongest episode of Raw in the last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go there.
Yeah. I don't watch every single one, but man. You'd have a hard time convincing me that there was a stronger episode of Raw from
maybe
like
a Mania build episode.
No, I don't even think so. I thought Mania they kind of limped in. This was just like every seg was basically good.
I'll go to NXT and then we can finish with I love this JC Thea pairing. It's so stupid and so great. The Dark Thea storyline is gonna be fun, I think, where JC's the bad girl and is teaching Thea, you know, ditch school. It's really revitalized Andre Chase a bit as the doting father who can't control this out of control teenager in his life.
Yeah, right. It like I've lost control of these. How do I reach these kids? Like, yeah, like that is the segment now.
And it's made Duke Hudson incompetent again, which is his best move, is just be big and dumb and holding that trophy and not knowing what the hell to do at all, as opposed to kind of being a leader of any kind.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, when they tried to almost cast him as a good guy, I'm like, no. Like his role is to be not capable at any point in this faction, and no one seems to notice.
And as a character note, I mean, look, the wrestling was pretty good. The Ilya Dragunov is always fantastic. Tyler Bate versus your boy Dabakato, doing some feats of strength there that were pretty damn impressive, I thought. But
I need to go and catch up. I mean, I'm sure Daba was tossing him around like a wet noodle.
But the one that I like, they built for. Oh yeah, that's right. You didn't watch NXT. Okay.
No, I didn't.
I'm not going to do beat by beat, but I'm going to go over another thing. The big thing is this Wednesday or this Tuesday, because of course Tiffany Stratt ended her promo with "See you next Tuesday." Toodles. Becky Lynch versus Tiffany Stratton for the NXT Women's Title. I liked that Tiffany Stratton did not back down and wasn't afraid when Becky went on the thing. She's like, "Bring it." I like that. I think there's a little bit too much. We're just NXT. We're second class type of thing. When the main roster comes down there, I like the people who are ready to step up, stepping up. I like that a lot.
Totally.
Ali had a good match on there. His character's interesting. I don't know if I like it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like the last episode I watched, it was all like, I need a shot. It's like weirdly manipulative is like his character. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Eddie Haskell-esque in a way. I'm not going to talk anymore about NXT. I'll give you first crack at AEW.
Man, AEW. Okay, so I made it a good chunk of the way through Dynamite here, but let me get up the results here. I liked the opening match. I know you did not care for the Mox Fox match. I was actually watching it and enjoying it quite fine.
Well, there were two things about it. Number one, okay. it looked like that first third of the match, they were going about half speed.
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't have noticed that because I was watching it all in 1.25.
Well, everything looks like a lucha match if you speed it up, Chris.
Well, I liked it. I mean, we have a lot of stuff to watch. I like to watch. I mean, do you know how long these people take walking to the ring, Jeff?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever watched this crap?
Wow, this work rate is fantastic. Well, I'm watching it on a higher speed. It also just made no sense to me. AR Fox just lost his last match. Somehow he's getting in on the open challenge. Do you know that, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. AR Fox has had 11 title shots since November 16th of 2022.
My God. Are you kidding me?
16th November 2022, Death Triangle versus AR Fox in Top Flight. 30th November 2022, TNT title, Samoa Joe defeated AR Fox. 9th of February 2023, Trios titles, Elite versus defeated AR Fox in Top Flight. 15th of February, Trios titles, The Elite defeated AR Fox in Top Flight. 25th of February, ROH title, Claudio Castagnoli defeated AR Fox. 31st of March of this year, ROH six-man titles, Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa Leona defeated AR Fox, Blake Christian, Metalik. 6th of May 2023, the New Japan TV title, Zack Sabre Jr. defeated AR Fox. 24th of May, Trios titles, House of Black defeat AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik. 4th of June, ROH six-man titles, Brian Cage, Khan, and Toa Leona defeat AR Christian, Action, Andretti, and Dante Martin. 26th of July, the international title, Orange Cassidy defeats AR Fox. 6th of September, international title, John Moxley defeats AR Fox.
This guy's a bit of a loser. When you get right down to it.
I mean,
no, so, okay. Now that you bring that up, I guess maybe this is my last piece of feedback. Is I was able to enjoy the AEW product the way that AEW fans have always asked me to enjoy the AEW product, which is with no sense of context of what's come before or next. And if you do that, then an AR Fox getting a 16th title match doesn't even register with you because you're just like, oh, AR Fox, he's good. He's wrestling John Moxley. I like him. And they have a match and they do stuff. And I'm kind of like, it's weird that Fox is a baby face now, but whatever, I'll just go with it. And like, I shut my brain off and enjoyed the work.
Yes, but you have to, because then you look at this.
But that's not enough. You're right on this. Like I liked it, but I liked it for the wrong reasons. It's like Twinkies.
Yeah, you look at this tournament for the world title and somehow Nick Wayne's in there and we're blowing the Darby Nick Wayne match, first match early in it, which I liked the match. But the tone was wrong on this. Nick Wayne needed to come in here and try and body Darby on and overwhelm him and shock Darby, especially after the hit me like a man thing and gets a super kick. Darby should almost be afraid of Nick Wayne and the rage that he's been holding back because of this whole AR Fox thing. And Nick Wayne should get a 2.9 on him and eventually lose. But I also thought this is way too early to go to Darby and Nick in any way.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, you have Trent in the tournament, you have Penta in the tournament, you have Jay Lethal in the tournament. Meanwhile, you have Adam Page not in the tournament coming out. I liked the swerve promo was in the right neighborhood for me. It was the points were incorrect and the phrasing was wrong to me. Because to me, Swerve needed to come out and first of all just say, I don't like you, Adam Page, and I don't like you because you've gotten everything I wanted. Now, that was kind of the gist of the promo a little bit, but it was more about politics and the spot type thing. But I did like, you know, the parts of you're going soft, you haven't been on TV doing singles matches in a long time type of thing. I like that he's quote-unquote coming for his spot, But I think it should be more that I'm jealous of you and I hate you because you still get all this and I'm working for it type of a thing. And I really wanted it to be based on the one-on-one hate versus the kind of, it feels like backstage politics of it.
On a different note.
Oh, did you not get to this segment?
No.
Okay. Because you don't have an opinion on it, so I'm watching.
No. I ran out of time when we got to the MJF promo.
All right.
So I thought the Statlander Emi Sakura match, which I had to watch in
that was
multiple
fun.
Parts. I know I was watching it in multiple parts and got interrupted, and then got back to it, and I was like, "This is actually a pretty good match, though." Yeah.
Emi Sakura is a lot of fun.
Emi Sakura is pretty darn good. And I mean, yeah, like there was no surprises there, but like Emi was really good. And then, like, I don't know, man. This is Jericho. We talked earlier in the show about, okay, now Punk's gone and all the problems are going to be fixed. I don't think Jericho fixes problems. I think he makes them. And I don't think like the Sammy thing, like, this isn't going to help Sammy in the end. Narratively,
no, right? They're two people that they just got to be a baby face, and now one of them's turning heel.
Yeah,
and it feels like they're doing a bootleg Adam Cole MJF program, but on the heel side.
Yeah, it's hard to get super into it, and then
on this match, why is Aussie Open losing?
I'm confused by this too. Like,
are they a big deal or are they not? Because they've just been beaten by a double clothesline, which is kind of a comedy spot. And now they're getting beat by Jericho and Guevara, who are eventually going to break up. Okay. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
And then the MJF promo, which is where I kind of ran out of time. It's like, once he got into like, "You're fat," I'm like, all right, Scott Steiner, chill out. Yeah. It's just,
look, Joe and MJF, I'm here for it. I just wanted Joe to stare a hole through him, quite frankly. I didn't need him to tete-a-tete. I didn't need him to do wacky Joe about, you know, whatever.
Didn't need to talk. I mean, what really needed to happen is MJF needed to talk a bunch of crap at the heel, and then the heel beats him up. And, like, invert the normal sort of standard dynamics here, because, like, MJF's not a standard babyface. I actually think, like, what should have happened there is MJF should have talked his shit and then it backfired on him.
Like, I liked Joe coming out and going, "I'm just going to come out here and listen to your promo, blah, blah, blah." And I thought he should have just gone in the corner and listened and just stare a hole. And then MJF starts getting more and more, "Okay, why aren't you reacting to me? Why aren't you, you know, that kind of thing," getting nervous about the whole.
Right, because that's a very realistic dynamic, right?
Did you see the Ricky Starks promo?
I did not.
Okay. Ricky Starks cuts this promo. And it's almost a babyface promo. And it's about, you know, "I'm given a piece of bread, but I want the whole meal" type of a thing. And my problem with this promo was, okay, it's after the big loss to a top babyface. In territory days, those guys come out the next week. "See, I'm going to come back and get you, but I'm also going to focus on this other thing." They focus on the next target. And this was my problem. This was another backstage politics type promo versus pro wrestling feud promo. Wasn't mad about getting back at Danielson. Wasn't mad or wasn't calling somebody else saying, "I'm going to kick your ass" or whatever. It was all about the push and the programs he was getting kind of a thing. And it's like, "I want more spotlight. I want more this." And I'm like, no, this is a theoretical promo and he needs to make it more personalized where he's focusing on somebody and just call somebody out. Like the old UFC where it's like, when you get interviewed, call somebody out so that we know what the match to make type of a thing. Now I feel like he's in a bit of a limbo, because he is still a heel because he attacked Ricky Steamboat, for God's sakes.
Right, right.
You can't put him in Bullet Club Gold because he just feuded with Jay White and all those guys in Bullet Club Gold kind of a thing. And everybody else seems to have dancing partners. So I'm wondering, you know, where's the baby face to take him on? And I can't see that. I like the fire from him. I like Ricky Starks.
I guess he could go and beat Orange Cassidy.
I think this match was good for him because it really, I mean, because he's a flash guy as opposed, he's a style guy as opposed to a tough guy. And it really kind of, I mean, showing his back with all the welts and stuff, it really puts forth his toughness. I just think he needs to be more personally petty against somebody, and then that'll help the promo thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said, he could feud with Orange Cassidy. He'd be the perfect guy to get the belt off of Orange Cassidy.
Anything else on Dynamite? You're looking like you're starting to fade out a bit. So what's your
thought? I guess you don't think much of my Ricky Starks Orange Cassidy take. So there we go.
No. I found it very interesting that they put Orange Cassidy on the top of the show without wrestling, because it really signifies how big of a part on Dynamite he plays.
Right. Yeah. He's a really important character.
My only problem with your concept is I find Cassidy be more of a Dynamite guy, but I guess now that Punk's gone.
Like the collision wall is going to hold up forever. Yeah. No, that's definitely, that's the bit. No, that's the bear.
I am addressing your point here.
These universes are sovereign.
Let me get my point out here because your point is well made. I'll take Orange Cassidy versus Ricky Starks in a program.
There you go. Thank you for engaging with the text.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out how you do that, because I think Starks needs a real talking feud, sort of.
He comes in and he goes, I'm on Dynamite now. Orange Cassidy, we're feuding.
I don't mean from him. I mean the other side of it.
Oh,
Starks can talk all day long.
He just beats up Orange Cassidy. I don't need to say anything. He just shows
Cassidy
up like
Cassidy. Will just look.
What's
at him go,
Ricky
whatever.
Starks doing in the Impact Zone?
Okay,
and
fine.
then he beats up Orange Cassidy, targeting his hand, and is like, "I'm gonna get this title."
Can Starks beat Cassidy though? Because
I'd have him.
Oh, would you? Because I have Cassidy going against MJF. I think that would.
I mean,
be
yeah, but he's gonna lose the title. I think Before the MJF feud, he loses the title and heals up.
He lost the title at All Out to Moxley.
Oh, well, then he heals up.
Did you not see the beginning of Dynamite? Where he came out without the title and said, I lost?
This has been a long week, Jeffrey.
Thank you for engaging with the text.
You know what? Fair. That's fair. No, that's fair.
Thank
that's
you.
Fair. That's fair. That's
okay,
fair. That's fair. That's fair. That's
there.
Fair.
It has been a long week as my entire work was encrypted by Russian malware, and Chris has had issues of his own today, which we will not go into, but we have already alluded to.
Yeah, some crazy shit, man.
You can follow me at Shake Them Ropes. No, you don't want to follow me there. That's just the show. But you can follow me at Crap Game 13, Arcane References, Talk Jimmy Buffett, whatever. Get on the Voices of Wrestling Discord and engage with Chris when he comes in there and just wrecks the place. You can find information of that at Voices of Wrestling. We are part of the Voices of Wrestling Network podcast for whatever you want. 5-star match game. Open the voice gate. Mike and JD over from my other neighborhood, Fight Game. Speaking of which, I am on the Fight Game Media Network. $5 a month for the Patreon, patreon.com/fightgamemedia. Other podcasts. If you don't get enough wrestling podcasts, there's lots over there. We do a show called The Dynamite Show. It goes live about 20 minutes after Dynamite. I thoroughly deconstruct things with Paul on YouTube. Audio drops the next day. Chris has other interests. This may shock you. He likes trams and guitars.
Yeah, it's true. I like trams. I like guitars. I like Tram Fest, which will be at the tram. So you can hit me up on Instagram at DrDocTor_NOV. And if you want guitar lessons, or if you just want to follow me on Instagram and see what my weird life is about, which is trams and gardening and occasionally getting lunch by myself. And then weirder things that I don't post.
Weirder things that you don't post on Instagram.
That do not need to actually be posted onto the internet. Not everything needs to be shared, apparently.
And we'll see you next week.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.